Chapter 10, Wear Purple Shoes, My Secret Key to Living Well with Diabetes. It's a warm summer day, smack dab in the middle of powwow season. A dozen years ago, I would have been running around making powwow outfits and casserole dishes. Today, I sit in the coolness of my front porch, alone, contemplating a willow basket. My phone rings, I don't answer. My fingernails and toenails are painted. I'm wearing purple sandals and a crepe blouse. I wonder what my mother would say if she saw me sitting here in the peace and quiet, wearing a blouse and shoes that are not made of sturdy material. Would she say I'm frivolous? Maybe borderline useless? My mother taught me how to be a good Paiute woman, get up early and stay busy all day long for every minute, wear clothes made out of good material. Doesn't rip and you can't see through it if you hold it up to the brilliant sun. Wear practical shoes, ones that you can wear for many miles if you suddenly find the need to evacuate. Chickens cause high blood sugar. I'd been doing this my entire life, even the first few years I had diabetes. Then one day my blood sugar was very high and wouldn't go down. I went to the doctor and had test after test. He asked me what I'd been eating and what I was doing for exercise. He couldn't figure it out. Then we came upon the answer, chickens. Bob and I had a school chick hatching program. We had 30 chickens. Every spring, we would make sure the roosters were busy. And then we would carefully load up 48 fertilized eggs and deliver them to the school. Everything had to be timed perfectly. The roosters and hens had to be in the right mood. The eggs had to be delivered to the school on the right day. The incubator lights had to be turned on immediately and kept at an exact temperature. The chicks were to hatch just before Easter, so the children could see the chicks pecking their way out of the eggs. It was an uncompromising deadline. 48 chicks must hatch before Easter, or 48 children would be sad, very sad. It was a huge responsibility that Bob and I carried on our shoulders. We would give the children nothing less than the miracle of birth just before Easter. Then one year, our biggest fear came true. The incubator malfunctioned and the eggs didn't hatch. If we had been supplying eggs to Costco, that would have been no big deal. But 48 children were waiting. 48 children already had chick names picked out. There would be no fluffies, no peepers, no butterballs. I had failed as a chick hatcher, as a school volunteer, as a daughter of a Paiute mother. My blood sugar soared. The doctor's wise words. When the doctor asked if I was under stress, I thought, chickens. There were other things going on, the phone constantly ringing and family asking me to make moccasins or birthday cakes. One such cake could not be measured in inches. It had to be measured in feet. In its center was a Navajo design. On its edges were miniature baskets. The cake took me 3 days to make. I didn't tell the doctor about the unhatched chickens and the Navajo design Paiute basket birthday cake. What I said was, yes, I'm feeling some stress. And this is what the doctor said to me. If you want things to stay the same, keep on doing what you're doing. If you want things to change, you have to change your behavior now. The doctor gave me permission to do something I had never done, say no to people, and take time for myself. That same day, I started on a new path. I got home and the phone rang. I didn't even think of not answering it. I automatically picked it up, listened to the request. Barbara, are you going to be at the baseball game? This time, instead of saying, yes, what time? I tried the new words. I'm sorry, but my doctor told me I have to rest and I'll have to miss the game. By the end of the day, several more requests had been phoned in. Barbara, can you come to the school play? Can you make your fry bread? Can you make a powwow dress? I answered each request in the same way. I'm sorry, not today. I must rest. The doctor said so. My voice was unsure because these words had never come from my mouth. They were like four-letter words. I think the people on the other end of the line must have gasped. Barbara said no. What's up with that? Can she do that? I'm sure my voice sounded small and higher than normal. Like a little girl unable to open a jar of jam. I can't. Will I still be loved? I too gasped. I thought my identity hinged on my saying yes to everyone. Barbara can do. Barbara can make a cake, moccasins, powwow dress, fry bread. Barbara is a good daughter, sister, auntie. It was like my life was about proving to others that I was a good person. It was about how I identified myself and my ability for self-love. I had to make all those things so that people found me lovable. The realization didn't come in an instant. I had to go on a long inner voyage. I had to start saying, not today, and pay attention to how I felt about saying that. Would people still love me if I didn't do things for them? But the doctor told me to rest and take care of myself. Like most of the critical points on my journey with diabetes, I thought about my mother. She took a different path and kept catering to people around her. And she died before she needed to. I want to live a long time so I can keep giving to my family and community. The big deal of napping. My different path started with saying, "Not today, doctor's orders." It started with a simple task, taking naps. For some people, taking an afternoon nap is no big deal. But for me, daughter of a Paiute woman, taking a nap was almost a sin. Napping is a near public display of how during 2 hours of prime time life, you have nothing useful to do but sleep. I had no idea how to nap. The first few times I laid on the bed, arms at my side, stiff as a board, in my head reeled the list of things I needed to make. Cake, moccasins, powwow dress, fry bread. Instead of doing those things, I was lying on my bed thinking about how I should be doing those things. Bob helped me. He taught me how to relax. He taught me to start with my toes, relax my toes, relax my feet, relax my ankles. It was hard not to hold my breath as I was doing this, but with practice, I started to relax. Muzzy helped me. She was a master napper. She knew exactly what I was doing when I headed for the bed in the middle of the afternoon. Finally, she seemed to say. She hopped on the bed and made herself at home in the crook of my arm and was instantly asleep. The good Paiute Diné dog owner could not awaken her pet. So I lay there, strapped down to the bed by this 10-pound mutt, and finally fall asleep. I bought books on meditation. I learned how to look at my thoughts, the jumble of them. I learned how to observe each one and observe how my body tensed up. I learned how to let the thoughts go as if they were leaves dropping onto the surface of a stream. I watched them drift away and I slept. So, with the help of Bob, Muzzy, and meditation, I learned how to take naps. Other tricks I've learned. Slowly, I became a master at taking naps. Now I think I could get a black belt in napping. I've mastered other self-care tricks. I take time to paint my fingernails and toenails. I go for a walk every day. I might walk to the thrift stores downtown. I stop at coffee shops and have a fancy cup of coffee alone. I screen my phone calls. Many times I don't answer my phone. I call people back when my schedule is open. Diabetes gives me permission. At first, I was overwhelmed by the guilt of my new behavior, but then I started looking at it in a positive way. I was learning about self-love. I was learning that if there was a silver lining to the dark cloud of diabetes, this was it. Of course, I wish I did not have diabetes, but diabetes gave me the opportunity to take care of myself. Diabetes gave me a reason to paint my toenails, screen my phone calls, go for a walk, take a nap. Diabetes gave me permission to say something I might not have ever been able to say. I'm sorry, not today. I have to rest, walk, be alone. I have diabetes. Compared to a dozen years ago, my life is calm. There aren't 30 chickens running around. There are two. My phone rings. I don't answer it. I'm busy making a basket. Sometimes I make bookmarks to give away. Instead of rushing around making powwow dresses and fancy cakes, I leisurely make bookmarks. I give them to my loved ones. I adorn the little rectangles with feathers and beads. My feelings of peace and good wishes are captured between the lamination. See, I'm still worthy and lovable, and I'm well. Being well and being loved. Having diabetes taught me many lessons. There will be more. The latest one I learned is that I can be good to myself and still feel useful and loved. Even though I screen my calls, don't answer the door, I'm a lovable person, and I am loved. I am sure of this. Once, while reflecting on my diabetes journey and all the choices I have made, I felt my mother standing beside me. I was wearing purple shoes and was feeling refreshed from an afternoon nap. I felt my mother place her hand on the back of my elbow and gently squeeze. It was her sign of approval. I am sure of this. Chapter 10, Wit and Wisdom. I ask myself, why is it important for me to be well? Can I say no and still be loved? How can I be useful in a peaceful way? What can I do for myself today to be well? I have been there crying, asking Creator to have pity, help me. I have been so blessed to have received that help. I have peace and certain knowledge that should hard times come in the future, and they will, I will never be alone or helpless. When the sweat leader lifts the dipper of water to pour on the hot, heated stones, I see him lifting a grail of goodness for all of us to share. My heart no longer hurts. Aho, aho. Thank you, Creator.